You'll get stuck holding the bag, or you'll make a bad investment, and you'll find yourself in a worse situation because you didn't have the financial education necessary to be successful.
You're one decision away from changing the rest of your life.
Welcome to the Rad Money Podcast. We're Rebecca
and Dylan, husband and wife and financial coaches for married couples.
Do you and your spouse want to reach financial freedom and start building wealth, but you're not sure where to start?
Have you tried to budget and pay off debt, yet you struggle to see your net worth actually increase?
Rad Money is the finance podcast that helps millennial married couples get on the same page about one of the toughest topics they will face in their marriage.
Our goal is to help you and your spouse work together to reach your financial goals and strengthen your marriage along the way. Welcome to today's episode of the Rad Money Podcast. Fun fact, April is financial literacy month.
It sure is.
Yeah. So today we are talking about the benefits of investing in your financial education, improving your financial IQ, because I've seen this with ourselves, we've seen it with our clients, anybody who spends time investing in their financial education, learning more about personal finances, it improves their financial future.
Yeah, I like to call it your FIQ.
Yeah, I like that. We should TM that, maybe.
We should. Yeah, Rad Coaches TM.
Yeah.
But yes, investing in your financial literacy, investing in learning more about how to manage money well, how to make good financial decisions, how to invest, how to manage debt well, all those sorts of things. It's why we say that it is the best investment you will ever make, because the returns are absolutely exponential.
Yeah.
In the terms of avoiding mistakes and actually making decisions that really have a huge return. So
right.
Financial literacy is one of the best things that you can invest in, period. Don't look for some special stock. Don't look for some unicorn investment. Invest in your knowledge, grow your knowledge base, grow your FIQ, because it actually has a huge long-term return. And there's even studies now that are coming out, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But before we jump into it, I want to read a review that we received from one of the clients that I worked with. I worked with Autumn for quite a while, but we worked together for 6 months before we moved on to kind of our retainer program that we have. But she left us a 5-star review a while back, and I just wanted to share this. So Autumn says, "I recommend R&D coaching to everyone who will listen. Working with Rebecca for 6 months helped me define my values, get to the heart of the issue on money matters, make better decisions, and truly move the needle on my money mindset and financial health. R&D coaching is for anyone at any point. They will meet you where you are, guide you step by step, and provide so much value that you don't ever want to graduate from coaching." Oh my gosh, I'm blushing. "Rebecca and Dylan understand their clients, so take a deep breath and let them guide and advocate for you. If you are still uncertain, subscribe to their newsletter and Facebook stories, and you'll quickly see for yourself how much knowledge and value Rebecca and Dylan have to offer." This is such an amazing review. Like I said, I'm over here blushing.
Yeah, you and Autumn worked for a long time together, actually. And it was amazing. Like from the first meeting, it was always something really big for Autumn. But I remember when
Huge breakthroughs. When
you first started, she signed up for the program. She's like, "Hey, I know I want to meet with you in a couple of weeks to get going, but I have this job that I'm about to apply for, or I've applied for, and I'm potentially going to be negotiating for my position."
Yeah.
You helped her negotiate her salary. I forget, how much did you help her like negotiate extra into that
compensation package? It was at least 10K.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then the first call after investing with us, her return on investment was about 9K.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, results may vary, but she was a very unique and amazing client. We worked together for a long time. Yes, we got through many things, job offers, job loss, all sorts of things.
Right.
She really shifted her career over the time that we worked together. So that was a big focus of our coaching together. But we also laid the foundation for her to set herself up. And it was just a great time working with her. And I just love the relationships that I get to build with people. And that word of mouth is just so powerful. I mean, we were talking the other day how like most of our clients have been referral clients.
Right, right.
So other clients have had such a solid, positive experience with us. They've seen the results so much that they send their friends, they send their family. There's no bigger...
It's a huge compliment.
Compliment than that. Like, yeah. The 5-star review is great, but the fact that you sent your best friend to me,
right.
Wow.
That's a trust factor.
Wow.
You're right.
Yeah, so cool. But the most important thing, I think, to really just remember about all of our clients is that they invested in themselves. They invested in their
right.
financial literacy. They invested in working with someone who could help them navigate all of the complexities of the financial decisions that they'd have to make in the time that we worked together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And beyond. And so by investing in that, they got to see these huge returns. They stopped telling themselves this limiting thought that I should be able to figure this out by myself. I should just read more books. I should just take more courses. I should just do all these things. And they said, "I'm going to skip the line. I'm going to save all that time. And I'm just going to like do the big thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to invest." And so I think that that's amazing. Now, whether you can afford to work with us or not, we can talk about that in a strategy call or something. But there are so many ways that you can start to increase your FICO so that you can have a better financial future. I mean, that's what this whole episode's about.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about our financial journey, and it always starts with the point of where you realize that you don't know enough.
Yes.
I think for people to want to invest into their financial education or whatever it is, they realize like, oh, I'm stupid.
Yeah, you're not Dunning-Kruger? Is that what it's called?
I don't know what that is. Oh, there's a Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yeah, the Dunning-Kruger effect is where like you are unaware of how ignorant you are. And
yeah.
You think that you're incredibly smart.
No, there's levels of learning. So there's unconscious incompetence. So that's kind of like where we all start off. We don't know that we don't know something and we don't know what to do about it. But as soon as you become consciously incompetent, aware of your incompetence, that's where we start to say, we got to do something about this. Because that's the worst feeling, is being totally aware that you're not good at something. It's like, that sucks.
Yeah.
I got to do something about it.
Yeah. So, and the Dunning-Kruger effect is where you have like this cognitive bias where you believe that you're just more capable than you actually are.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if you're running around like that, and just like, no, totally, I've got this, I'm doing great. And you're ignorant to the fact that there's a lot of things you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things you don't know. I continue to just realize how little I even know. And I've been doing this for years. There's still more to learn. And there's always going to be more to learn. And to me, that's exciting because I have a student mentality.
Yeah.
But you have to have that initial breakthrough. You're totally right to realize I know nothing.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, I know nothing, and there's always more for me to learn, and I could always be doing better. And that's a positive message, not a negative one.
Oh, totally. You know, in a way, like when we take calls with our clients, you know, when we first talk to them and see if they're a good fit for the program, I always like to ask, like, on a scale 1 to 10, how do you feel about like your financial situation,
yeah,
what's going on? And if people answer with a 9 or a 10, I know I can't help them. Even if I know I can help them, they won't accept the help. Because if you think you know too much, then it's like, what's the point? It's like wasting your time and mine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Coachability is a big part of that.
Right.
Yeah, but the unfortunate thing is that there's just a huge cost of not realizing that
uh-huh.
there's so much that you don't know. There's a huge cost to not investing in your financial literacy. Because like we said earlier, there's kind of two sides of the coin, is that you're either at higher risk of making poor decisions,
mm-hmm.
or you're just genuinely missing out on opportunities.
Right, right. So we've seen this with a lot of things when our clients come to us. You know, they might have been putting money and saving it in their checking account and not getting any interest at all. And just moving that money, their quote savings, into a high yield savings account actually gives them a little bit of interest each and every month.
Yeah, so that's like the lowest hanging fruit.
Right.
That's what I like to call it. And then there's the bigger things, like investing in the right accounts or making sure that, you know, seeing these bigger opportunities, these bigger strategy calls that don't just move a couple pieces on the board. They turn the whole board around.
Totally.
You know, they're completely game changers, but you were ignorant to the fact that that was a possibility,
yeah.
much less what the benefits would be to you either now or in the future. And so you're paying, you're having to work harder to fill that gap, right? Just because you don't know things, you're going to stay on that wheel.
Yeah. So there's this term that's used by Alex Hormozi, and he calls it ignorance tax. It's like you have to pay down your ignorance tax. It's the only way that you're going to be successful. And he talks about it in a business standpoint, but it's the same thing with your personal finances. If you aren't on your way to $1 million, there's an ignorance tax there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay down that ignorance tax so you can become a millionaire or whatever you want to become in life. And so you have to take that time to educate yourself, whether it's books, courses, coaches, whatever, but you have to pay down that ignorance tax one way or the other so that you know what to do.
Yeah. And then like we said earlier, the flip side of that is that when you don't have the education that you need, you end up falling into traps and falling for scams, you know, really going for the quick win sort of thing, silver bullets, all this stuff. And you're spending money on all these random people online who are promising you the world. But if you had the financial literacy, if you had this lens of scrutiny and discernment to put them through, you would recognize that what they are promising is not realistic.
Yeah.
And it's easier to see how these things are fraudulent. They're just frauds. They're con artists. And so you're putting yourself at risk by not educating yourself, especially in this world that's just more and more connected. And there's so many ways for people to scam you out of your money. I mean, it used to just be the snake oil salesman.
Right.
Now the snake oil salesman is like every other reel on your phone, you know?
Exactly.
So you got to educate yourself and then, you know, really pray for wisdom and discernment.
Oh, totally.
Because it's not always easy to tell who these people are.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the things that I've learned over the past year is if someone is selling something to you and they say it's going to be really hard and it's going to take a few years to be successful, they're telling you the truth.
Yes.
And someone who says, I can help you make $5,000 extra every month in the next 60 days.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's not easy. It's not easy. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. So like the message that you don't want to hear is the one that probably is the most truthful.
Yeah, unfortunately, right? And then that also brings us to the next point, which social media content is not education. This is why we've really struggled so much to even create content and don't even like spending much time on there, is because so much of what financial influencers, et cetera, are saying on there, it lacks context.
Yes.
It lacks strategy. And it confuses so many people. I've had so many clients come to me. I heard this. And I'm like, you have no business.
Right.
This does not apply to you. You're not ready for this, or that's just unrealistic, or like, here's why that's just not, no. And so they're just making blanket statements. They're just throwing random factoids out there to make them sound really smart, which anybody could just like Google and find out. But it's lacking so much context, and that is not really helpful for you either.
Yeah. And just people have their own interests and knowledge. And so it might sound really interesting to get into real estate. But if you don't care about real estate at all, that's just a bad investment. Even though people can become financially successful in different areas too, you have to think to yourself, is this something that I really want to get into? Or am I just following this idea because this guy's being really successful at it?
Well, real estate, day trading, crypto, I mean, all of these things,
yeah.
Right? That yes, there is opportunity for a huge return, but you do pay a huge ignorance tax and you'll get stuck holding the bag, or you'll make a bad investment. And you'll find yourself in a worse situation. Why? Because you didn't have the financial education necessary to be successful.
Yeah. So that was the cost of not having a financial education. But there's actually a study that came out recently showing that if high school students took one semester of personal finance, that they ended up having a positive effect on their life.
Yeah, this is very exciting. So I actually spent a semester volunteering in a personal finance course down in Tennessee for high school students. And this was really cool. There's been a push over the past many years to get personal finance taught and being a mandatory requirement for high school graduates,
yep,
to take a personal finance class for at least like a semester. Now, about half of the states now have this, but it can also look like different things. So like when I was in high school, they considered economics to kind of check that box. It wasn't a proper personal finance course. So economics, yeah, interesting, but we're not looking at individual decisions, day-to-day money management. So now we're trying to get the personal finance money management type courses into high schools as a requirement. And so this study found that for the students who took that one semester of a personal finance course that really is focused on, you know, your credit and debt and budgeting, things like that, that there is a value that they could now kind of attach to that, which is approximately $100,000. Now, most of this $100,000, they're attributing that to making better decisions when it comes to debt and credit management. So
right.
You have a better credit score, so you're able to get better terms on things like mortgages, car loans, et cetera. Maybe you're making better decisions when it comes to those student loans that you're taking out when you go into college. So that's mostly what they're tracking there. But when you think about the exponential like future value in terms of if they start to invest, if they start to do these other things that are also really important, and how that will have an even larger impact,
yeah,
on that individual's future financial situation.
Yeah, I was thinking as you're talking about that, you know, if the difference is really on $100,000 saved because of better choices when it comes to debt management and loans that you're taking on, then it's like, what do they do with that extra $100,000 can really end up being a lot more money in the future. And
yes.
So I don't think they necessarily, well, we were looking at the study, they didn't follow these people necessarily.
And I think it's still too early to tell. I think, you know, 20 years, we'll have really good data and information about, you know, the impact of these courses. But I think the biggest thing is just that it matters. Seeing this class show up more and more in our high schools is critical, not only to the individual success, but this is something that I talk about all the time, which is the more informed the average American is with their finances, the more financially secure the individual American household is, the stronger our economy as a whole will be.
Right.
Right. So if we're able to have that savings, if our credit is looking good, if we're not feeling like we're totally strapped, like that is good for our total American economy. And so it has this larger effect. So I will say this, if your students in your high school, if you have kids, your local high school does not offer personal finance courses, look into how to get those courses into your schools, because they're so critically important. Obviously, we can teach our children, nieces, nephews, as much as we can at home as well. That's important to be modeled and taught to them that way. But having a proper course just has a huge value. And now that's really truly being shown. So advocate for that. You can look, I was a volunteer through Junior Achievement. You could look into that program.
I know that Dave Ramsey's high school program is getting bigger and bigger as
That's great.
Yeah.
So there's definitely ways for you to get involved. We'll drop some links in the show notes for these organizations if you want to see how to support this effort of getting personal finance courses into your schools in your state.
But I really see this also as like a baseline, a bare minimum of what should be done.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like I look back at high school, and if I wasn't interested in something, it was in one ear, out the other. And so when you actually take personal interest in your own education, that actually ends up being more powerful.
Yes. So on the flip side of this whole personal finance and high school conversation, I very much believe that, yes, it can have a huge value in that way. However, it is not the cure-all that people like to act like it is. Okay, you were a little snot-nosed jerk 16-year-old who probably wouldn't have paid attention, okay? I went to high school.
I went to college. Yeah.
And then when I was a volunteer in these courses, these kids couldn't care less. You know, they're like, what do I care? My mom and my dad pay for everything, you know? So it's not their money. So I think that people look at that as if their life would have been totally different. It could have helped you make some better decisions, but it's not the end of your financial education. Your financial education needs to continue throughout your adulthood, throughout your life. Like we're saying, we're still learning things every single day.
Yep.
So it's a continuous education that you'll never really stop doing.
You're right. The other thing about this too is that when you invest in your own personal financial education, you put skin in the game.
Yes.
Like you, when you put money down, it's totally different than, you know, hearing a free tip on Instagram. You know, you can save all those posts as much as you like, but are you going to do anything about it?
Absolutely.
You know? It's just like you're collecting knowledge without actually taking action. And so when you put skin in the game, when you put money down and invest in your financial education, that actually does something. And I'm going to go on a slight tangent here. We've had some people sponsor, an aunt and uncle, a mom and a dad, sponsor somebody to work with us. And I'll tell you, we don't do it anymore because they don't have any skin in the game. And when they don't put any money down themselves, they don't get the best results. You know, they aren't the most standout clients that we've had who have gotten to achieve the most with their money. I think when you put money down on the table, your own personal hard-earned money, it really motivates you to work extra hard.
Well, and I think they're doing it because somebody else wants them to do it.
Yeah.
And not because they want to do it. And so you have to be ready for change. You have to be ready to commit to this process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, unfortunately, they don't get the best results. But yeah, you absolutely need to continue to invest in your financial literacy throughout your life. And that means putting money down.
Right.
Not all the time. There are some free ways you can do it too. But yeah, like you said, the free ways, just unless you're incredibly self-motivated and so incredibly committed to the process, the free ways just, they're more passive and you're paying in time.
Right. So let's talk about how you can invest in your financial IQ and start to raise that bar for yourself. And so the first thing that we want to talk about is podcasts. And so you're doing that right now. If you're listening to a podcast, podcasts are great. It's where we started.
Yeah.
I remember doing a lot of ski touring in Washington, listening to the like 2 hours up the mountain. Not the stuff you want to hear necessarily when you're working really hard going uphill, but it sunk in. I just kept hearing messages over and over
again. Meditation and movement.
Yeah. And so that was definitely a big thing for me. But podcasts are great. I think it's just long form content. This is so much different than just the quick like bloop that you get on social media.
Yes. Yeah. We have the ability to go deeper and allows us to dig into some of the nuances that you just can't do on social media. So that's why we like creating this podcast, is we feel like we're able to bring more value and actually be more helpful, educational to the listeners. But there's so many good personal finance podcasts out there. You can find podcasts from CPAs and financial planners or general financial education stuff like the How to Money podcast, which we were on.
Right.
You know, there's so many great podcasts. This is your easiest entry level way to educate yourself. But the unfortunate thing about it is that it can oftentimes end up as just information collecting.
Sure, definitely. That which is the same thing with the social media, is if you're just taking in that information, not taking action, that can really be a problem.
And again, it is kind of passive, right? Because you're just listening to it. You're like, oh, that's so great. And you're usually listening to it when you're on the go, you know, like you were skiing or we'd be driving or doing these things where like you're not taking notes. You're not thinking deeply about how can I implement this, checking in with yourself if you're maybe making this mistake or you're checking that box or whatever you're doing, right? So it's a great place to start, but you have to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, one of the things I do with podcasts is I like to take notes occasionally when I'm hearing something good, or I'll time stamp it so I can come back and listen to it later and write it down if I'm not available to do that. But definitely making sure that it's not going in one ear out the other. Like if you hear something good, follow up and take the action that you hear on the podcast so that you actually get the results. See if it actually will work for you.
Yeah. I have clients who listen to podcasts, et cetera, and then they ask me, what do I think? Does this apply to me?
Yes.
You know? And I'm their sounding board, you know? Okay. The next thing that you can do is books. So I actually like books a lot more than podcasts.
Simply I do too.
Because again, yeah, you're paying for that book, but it does allow you to go really deep. You're really getting a full understanding of the concepts. It's not just conceptualized in your head, but you have a visual component as well. So you're able to retain the information more, to conceptualize it more. It just makes more sense.
Yeah, books are great, like you're saying, because I can actually open up to a page, I can highlight, I can take notes, I'm more involved in the book, I visually see it, and it's easy to reference. You know, if I'm trying to work on something, I can quickly go to that tab that I made for myself and say, okay, this is what the author said, this is what I need to do, let me take some action right now. So it's a lot better for that reason.
I totally agree. I also am such a huge fan of something having like a physical presence in your space. So like when we talk about financial goals and stuff like that, having some sort of tracker that is in your house where you're reminded about your goal daily, you're tracking your goal daily, you can have this visual representation of what you're working towards. And your books can kind of play that same role.
Yeah.
Like it's sitting on your nightstand or it's sitting in your office and you're looking at it day after day. And so you are constantly reminded of what are you reading? What are you learning? I need to apply this to my life.
Right.
I need to take action. So it's got that physical presence that I think is actually really helpful.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll mention about books too is that it links a couple concepts together.
Yeah.
So it's not just one concept. You're actually linking a few things together and tying it into a whole.
Usually.
Which can be really helpful.
Yeah. So we'll link our favorite personal finance books down in the show notes as well. So we have one blog in particular where we're like, read these exact books in this exact order if you're starting to invest in your financial IQ. So go check those out. It's a really good resource.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you read all those books, you will be much smarter than the average American when
it
comes
goodness.
To finance.
Yeah, they say you only have to read like 5-6 books on
a
topic.
I think it's 3.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, before you're considered like
an expert.
More knowledgeable than 90% of the population on a given topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. And then now the next thing is courses. I actually am not a super huge fan of courses. I mean, we have an online course, but we mostly just use that for clients.
Right.
Courses are, they're good and bad. I think the reason I don't like them is because most people don't finish them.
Right. Yeah. I think we've seen this for ourselves. We've invested some money into courses and without somebody telling me this is what you need to do and you need to do it by this time, it's on you to be motivated to finish it through.
It's completely virtual. So you don't have that, you know, not the book situation.
Right.
You don't have meetings on a calendar that you have to like show up to. But yeah, we've taken courses and just where most of the people who are taking the course with us or whatever, they don't make it through all the content. They don't get through the whole thing. Again, we have a course. Most of the people who sign up for the course, they'll get partway through it, but they don't finish it. And that's just not ideal, right? Like that's not why you paid for it. And this is consistent. Like you can literally look this up for yourself that most people who have courses and or to take courses, they get like 60% of the way and then they drop off.
Yeah, I believe it.
So courses can be really good, but again, it requires like these, all of these three first ones, it takes so much self-discipline and you have to implement everything yourself and you still have to figure out how does this apply to me and all this sort of stuff on your own. And so they require just a higher level of attention, a higher investment of your time, I think, because mm-hmm. you still do have so many gaps to fill. And that's just really time consuming.
Right. And then you're out $500, $1,000 on a course that you don't even complete. And so it's really important if you do sign up for a course, I would highly recommend create a calendar and a schedule and give yourself an end date to get that done by, because dates will really make a difference here. Because it's a lot of money to go to waste, that's for sure.
Yeah, if you're going to go this route, like you can save money, but you have to make sure that like, you know yourself, am I going to finish this? How can I make sure that I finish this?
Yeah.
How can I make sure that I get the most out of this?
And the thing that the course and everything else that we've mentioned before all of this, they're going to miss the contextual stuff that is your specific life.
Yes.
All the circumstances that you're dealing with. Yes, there are blanket things that need to get done. You should be paying off your debt before you have an emergency fund, before you start really investing, building up that foundation. But how do you do that for your particular circumstance? The course may not dive into that as much as well.
Yeah, it just can't. It's impossible. You cannot cover every basis on something that's premeditated and recorded and meant for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no custom advice, no unique advice.
Right.
So that brings us to the last opportunity to invest in your financial education, where you have all of those things, and that's working with a financial coach.
Right.
Whether it's us or somebody else, having somebody who can help you filter through all that information and answer the question, is this for me? And how do I do this for my unique circumstances working with a financial coach will give you all that context.
Right. Well, as Autumn said in her review, we'll meet you where you're at. A financial coach will meet you where you are and help you work from your starting point in particular. They're not going to give you any information that's not necessary. They just want to give you the information that will help you succeed in this particular moment. So
if they're good.
If they're good. But if you're not dealing with debt, why would we talk about debt? If you already have an emergency fund, we are going to talk about that. If your goal is to invest, we're going to help you make sure that you invest more, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing about a coach is, though, you don't have to go through all this generic stuff to get to what you actually need.
Well, it depends. Everybody does it different. So we're talking about how we do it, which is very custom. It's meet you where you're at. We're going to guide you step by step. Some coaches, yeah, they're just budgeting coaches, or they're just debt coaches, or they're, you know, they're really focused on just one part of the journey. We're different than that. We have a completely different approach than most people. We don't have a set curriculum where, okay, this week you're going to do this and that week you're going to do this and don't fall behind and all this sort of stuff. It's at your pace. And the reason we did that is because that's the most effective.
Right.
That's the way to get the best result. And so I will die on this hill that I believe that this is the best way to coach. Is just completely custom, and it requires a lot of knowledge. It requires a lot of work to be an expert that we can do that. That's just not your average financial coach, right? They're mm-hmm. They're just gonna talk about budgeting and debt. But we're beyond that. We do it a little bit different, and it works really well for our clients. Yeah, like you said, like Autumn said.
Yeah, and the big thing here too is the accountability aspect, the coaching aspect of helping you work through those problems, those difficulties, those random roadblocks that pop up that you weren't aware of, or that just showed up randomly and you don't know how to deal with. That's what the coach really helps you with.
Or the mindset pieces. You know, it might not necessarily be like I have questions about the how-to, but the why, and I'm scared, or
do I really deserve this?
Yeah, this intimidates me. Do I deserve this? So many things, you know. One story in particular, a client who, you know, really struggled. She was super motivated to pay off her debts, but she so much struggled to create her emergency fund. And that was really, really hard for her because she was just saw that she didn't feel like she should be prioritizing herself and her personal security when she had all these debts.
Uh-huh.
And so we really had to work through that mental roadblock of understanding, like, yes, you know, you're still being responsible with your debt, but you have to have this emergency fund because at the end of the day, like, you have to protect yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You need to make sure that your needs are met.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that slows things down, that's okay, right? And that's a huge block for a lot of people, really, is they think as long as I have debt, then I shouldn't have this cash sitting around. It's just not necessarily true. So there's all these this mindset stuff that is holding you back that you might not even know that you have, but you get to work through it with a coach. But yeah, those are the ways that you can invest in increasing your financial knowledge and your FIQ. We highly suggest, whether you listen to this podcast, buy books, take courses, or work with a coach, that you just make sure that you follow through. Take action. Don't be an information collector. Don't be someone who just likes to know facts.
Yeah, this is what this episode's all about today. It doesn't matter if you work with us or not. We're not necessarily trying to push that. We want you to take action today.
No, I'm trying. I want you to work with me. I do. I 100% want you to work with me because I know what I can do for you.
Yep.
So if you're curious about what I can do for you, you're curious about what Dylan can do for you, book a strategy session, free session to talk to us, see how we can help you improve your strategy, how we can help you fill in those gaps, skip the line, hit the easy button, all of the random, you know, cliches, but we will help you to build a strategy that's unique to you, hold you accountable, make sure you get it done, and help you build actual wealth.
Yeah, think about this. You're one decision away from changing the rest of your life. So you could choose to invest in your financial education or not, but that decision will change the rest of your life. And so we want you to take action. Don't hold up, do something.
Exactly. So that's this week's episode. And until next time, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Dylan.
And we're Rad Coaches.